Saviour's name. We do thank you for coming. We do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found here in his building, worshipping the Lord today. We do welcome those that are online as well. We pray that the Lord's blessing will be with you as you tune in to our services. And can we just remind you of the meetings for the incoming week. Do remember the evening service tonight at 7 p.m, preceded by the season of prayer. As we continue in our studies in the book of Acts, I want to consider the subject this evening of the enemies of the gospel. The enemies of the gospel. So do make that effort to come again this evening and be part of our gathering together as we worship and praise the Lord. On Wednesday evening, the prayer meeting and the Bible study is at 8 p.m. here in the main church. And we do, as always, extend to each and every one, young and old alike, that invitation and encouragement to be here and worshipping and studying the word of the Lord. Our brother Ivan Morrison will be conducting the prayer meeting this Wednesday evening. Can we just remind the members of session, there's no presbytery this week with the Queen's Jubilee. The presbytery meeting has been moved back by 1 week. Then the services next Sunday, the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30, and then there's times of worship, 11:30 and 7 p.m. Next Sunday is Youth Sunday. We do remind you of that. We're looking forward to the young people taking part at both of the services, both by leading, by readings, and also in song. A word of testimony there'll be as well, and some reports from the youth of what they've been looking at and covering throughout the year. So do make that effort to come next Sunday and to support our young people. And the special speaker at both services is the Reverend Marcus Leckie, the minister of our Cookstown congregation. Can we mention as well that all of the loose offering at next week's services will be going towards the youth work of our church, and if you'd like to support that in any way, then do leave in that loose offering at either of the services next Sunday. And in relation to that then, can we remind the young people, if you could remain behind just for a few moments after the morning service, just for a final practice of the singing for next Sunday, please. And to members of committee in session, if I could meet with you very, very briefly just up in the minor hall after the morning meeting as well. Can we just mention that in this incoming week, I'll be out of the country just for a number of days. And if there's any emergencies, do contact a member of the session and they'll get in touch with the minister who's covering the church. God willing, I'll be back for next Sunday, unless EasyJet mess up my flights, as I've done for many other people. So we're looking to the Lord that he'll just work all things in relation to that. As I mentioned, we'll be out just for a few days out of the country, and then God willing be back in time for next Sunday. We're going to commence now our worship, that hymn 213, you'll find it in page 262. Was it for me alone, the Saviour left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendours of the sky. Was it for me he came to die? Let's stand together as we sing unto the Lord this morning. Let's stand.
It was for me.
Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. What a wonderful hymn, even to start our worship with this morning. Thinking of the love of God, the heart of God, even for his people. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before thee. Lord, we do come with that fresh thanksgiving, that joy in our hearts. And yet, O God, at the same time, that humility to think that the great God of heaven and of earth, the creator of all things, that he loves me, that he loves each one of his people. We thank thee for the love of God. We thank thee for that love that brought Christ even to this earth, that he would be clothed in our humanity, that he would make himself lower even than the angels, that he would be made under the law, that he would undergo the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, that he would undergo even the cursed death upon the cross, that he would do it all for me. Oh, Father, we lift up our hearts even this morning. We lift up our adoration even to thee. We can truly say with the psalmist, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And Father, that is our earnest desire as we're found in this house today, that we will praise, that we will worship, O God, even with full hearts, that we will give all of that we have even in praise and in worship, that we will set aside, O God, every thought of the week past or that to come, that we will give ourselves and our attention, our minds, our hearts unto our Savior. Lord, remember us this day, we pray thee, even as we gather here. Lord, how much we need the help of the Lord even to worship. How frail man truly is, how weak we are. Lord, we need that strength from on high to be afforded to us. We need, O God, that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And to that end, we do pray, O God, that thy Spirit will come upon us afresh this day, that thy Spirit will hover over this gathering, that thy Spirit will work in every heart, and that will apply even the Word of God to each and to every one. Lord, we thank thee for thy mercy already to us in this day. We thank thee for that which has been accomplished in this place today. We thank thee, O God, for the time of the Sabbath school, and, O God, even that training and that practice once again for Children's Day. We pray for thy continual blessing to be upon it. We thank thee for the time even in the upper room, O God, in prayer. Lord, for the prayers of thy people as they ascended unto thee. Lord, do remember us in these moments even together. Remember us, O God, for good, how much we need the voice of the Lord in these days to our hearts, how much we need the Spirit of God to lead us, to guide us, to instruct us, how much we need thy precious word to be that lamp unto our feet and that light unto our path. Lord, come and minister this day to us. And may we give, as I have already prayed, O God, may we give ourselves in worship. May we give ourselves to the reading, to the singing, and to the preaching of thy word. Lord, remember every sister congregation. We pray for thy servants who will minister this day. We pray for ministers. We pray for students. We pray for lay preachers, for missionaries at this time here at home. We pray, O God, for each one of them that has a responsibility to handle thy word even this day, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt fill them afresh with the Holy Ghost, that thou wilt give them utterance, that thou wilt give them, O God, that unction from on high, that thou wilt give them clarity of mind and of speech, that thy word will come forth with boldness, thy word will come forth with power. O Father, how much we need the word of God to enter into hearts and into lives in these days. How much we need, O God, that faith to be coming even from individuals, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Father, to that end, we pray that thy word will come forth. Lord, not simply the thoughts of a man, not simply, O God, the meditations of a man, or, O God, the ideologies of a church or denomination, but rather it will be the word of God that is heard, and the word of God that is received and remembered. Lord, remember every family that is here. Remember every family associated with this church. Lord, for every need that there is within those families. We spread them afresh before Thee. We, for the physical need, for the mental, the spiritual needs that are in homes in these days, for those that are mourning, for those that are sick, for our elderly, O God, for each one, we commit them afresh to Thee. Remember them for good. Remember our young people, those with exams in these days. Lord, be near to them. Bring them through their GCSEs, their A-levels. Bring them through, O God, this period of the year once again, and undertake, lead and guide, direct our young people. Keep them close to Thee in these days, O God. Give them a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. O Lord, hear and answer prayer. Be near to us this day, we pray Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 383. We continue to worship the Lord this morning. The hymn 383. The page is 331. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought Him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. 383. Let's stand once again as we sing on to the Lord, please. Let's stand. Psalm 140. We'll read together this morning the Psalm 140. Entitled to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Psalm 140 in the verse 1. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart continually, or they gather together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man, who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered in my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked, further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves, Selah. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and the upright shall dwell in thy presence. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Always a blessing to see when the psalm ties in again with our thoughts, even for today, and it's tonight, of course, I'm speaking of particularly. As I mentioned earlier, we're looking at the enemies of the gospel, and how much, even if you know the passage we're coming to in the book of Acts, and the desires that the enemies had at that time in relation to Paul the apostle, and yet how applicable this psalm is even to it. All of the vain mischiefs and the wickedness of the enemy against him, and yet the psalmist is praying here for the Lord to undertake to keep him, to protect him. And make sure you come tonight and even see how the Lord undertakes for Paul, how he protects him, and how he even keeps him at that time. We're going to now sing the hymn 380, just before we come to the preaching of God's word. 380, just back one page from where we were previously. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. We're going to remain seated for the first three verses of the hymn, and then we'll stand for the final two. Let's turn again to the book of Ruth in chapter 2. When I went to the study this week, I was sure we were finishing Ruth 2. We're not. We've today, and I believe, one more week in Ruth chapter 2. I smiled to myself a number of weeks ago at the door. An individual said they were enjoying the book of Ruth and said, "You know, we're still only in Ruth 2. He says, "Will we ever get to the end of the book?" I smiled to myself because there's only four chapters, of course, in the book of Ruth. And I thought then of the book of Acts, and there's 28 chapters, and we're still making our way bit by bit through it. But I trust this book has been a blessing. It's certainly been a blessing to me in the study place, a wonderful little gem and nugget that is there of a book to glean much from. Ruth 2, the verse 10. Speaking of Ruth, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth, gave to her, that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word once again to our hearts today. I want to look at these verses this morning under the heading, "When Ruth Met Boaz." When Ruth Met Boaz. You'll remember over the last number of weeks we've been looking at Boaz when Boaz met Ruth. But this morning we want to look at when Ruth met Boaz. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence and seek his blessing this morning. Father, we come to thee with thy word open before us. And we do acknowledge, O God, that this is thy word. It is the word of the living and the true God. And every jot, every tittle within it will never fall or will never be forgotten. Thy word is set. Thy word is secure, thy word is settled. The flower may fade, the grass may wither, but thy word endures forever. We rejoice in this. And to that end, O God, we come to this book with confidence that what is written in the page, when it was written, is as applicable today as it was even then. How much we need to hear thy word. And Father, we pray this morning that thou wilt come, that thou wilt unstop the ears, open the hearts, speak to each one that is here. May there be that word in season for every heart. Fill us with thy Spirit, even in these moments together, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you've heard the phrase before, there are two sides to every story. Of course, there's truth in that. When you think of the events in your life, and maybe even you're thinking of that time whenever you met with your spouse, even as we've been looking at these verses over these weeks, whenever the coming together of Boaz and Ruth took place, that first meeting time, that first meeting place. You think of those times whenever a husband and a wife come together, if you only hear the one side of the story, well, you're only getting 50%. Because whenever you hear both sides of the stories, yes, there may be those details which are the same. There may be those details which overlap. But of course, there will be other details which are unique to that individual. The way of the storytelling as well may be different. That which is important or viewed important may be different according to the individual. And over these last number of weeks, as I said, we've been looking at this wonderful meeting whenever Boaz met Ruth. And we've looked and we've considered this passage through the eyes of Boaz. As he came to the field, as he lifted up his eyes, as he saw Ruth, as he approached Ruth, as he spoke to Ruth, as he provided for Ruth, we thought of it all through the eyes of Boaz and all through the heart of Boaz. How he knew her before he even met her. How he saw her before she ever saw him. How he sought to provide everything for her, even for the remainder of her time. That clear sign of his love for her. But if we were to change it round, what if we come at it through the eyes of Ruth? What if we come at it this morning from the experience of Ruth? Because here was a woman who woke up that morning and she had no desire to meet with any man called Boaz. Whenever she approached her mother-in-law and she asked that permission to go to the field to glean, she had that desire to go to a field to glean. She had no desire to meet a man. She had no desire to meet a man that she would then fall in love with and that she would marry. Her desire that day was simply to get food. Her desire that day was simply to make ends meet, as it were, to provide enough to feed herself and to feed her mother-in-law. Whatever field would be open and receptive to a widow coming into it, that was her desire to be there. And yet by the end of that first day, she would have met Boaz. I believe fallen in love with Boaz, with the desire never to leave Boaz again. What a picture, what a testimony that is of every individual who has ever come to saving faith in Christ Jesus. Because our desire and our sinful nature, our starting point is against God. We have no desire for God in our lives. We have no desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no desire to know God. We have no desire to meet God. We have no desire to love God. We have no desire to be with God. And yet by the Spirit of God, all that can change. Man in his natural state has absolutely no desire for anything that is holy or righteous. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And yet whenever God steps in and the grace of God enters into our lives and it flows into the sinner, then the old things pass away and all things become new. That day in that field for Ruth, the old things passed away. Everything became new. Now her mind, her heart, her words, everything about Ruth was Boaz. Three things I want to leave with you this morning in relation to Ruth at this time in the field. I want you to see firstly her worship. In verse 10, her worship. She fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. She said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger." Boaz came to Ruth. He speaks to her. And even in those preceding verses, verses 8 and 9, he provides for her. He brings her that realization. All of your need is now met. All of your provision I will give you. Everything that you have a desire or need for, I will open up, as it were, my hands. I will open up my estate. I will give from my treasuries. I will give it all to you. And he will protect her. He is charged in verse 9, he has charged the young men that they shall not touch her. He has just granted her the very best provision and the very best protection. And her response is immediate. And it's unreserved. She worships him both with her actions and with her words. She fell on her face. Bowed herself to the ground. As we mentioned at the end of last week, there is that picture of full surrender, even that gospel application of it, that we surrender ourselves to the Lord. But you look at it here in terms of her worship, there is full surrender in what she is doing. Because whenever Boaz comes to her, whenever Boaz speaks to her, immediately she stops what she is doing. The reapers are in front of her, the bits of scraps of the food, the grain, the barley is upon the ground. And she's been there gathering it, but the moment that Boaz speaks to her, she stops gleaning. She surrenders all of her actions now are completely upon Boaz. She falls before Boaz, everything else is deemed insignificant. Boaz can see her. The other reapers, the maidens, can see her. And they know that this woman, her actions are genuine. It's clear that the impact of Boaz's words and actions have had upon her. For her part, there certainly isn't any sense of entitlement. She doesn't simply say to Boaz, well, I deserve it, for I'm a widow. Your law dictates you have to take care of me. No, whenever Boaz gives her everything, whenever Boaz provides and protects her, she just falls before him and she says, why? Why have I found grace? Why have you given me that which I do not deserve? Why have you given me that which I have not paid for? Why have you given me that which I am not entitled to? I'm nothing. She stops everything and she gives her all in worship and praise and in thanksgiving to Boaz for what he has done for her. There's a passion burning within her. That passion transpires through her actions and her words. Her heart is full. She has fallen before Boaz because her heart is full. Her heart is bursting within her from what she has just received from the Lord of the harvest. She couldn't simply continue to lift scraps. She couldn't simply continue to follow after the reapers. Boaz has just offered her and provided her everything. She has to worship. That's the way we ought to worship our God and Savior. Each one here today that is saved, you received the greatest provision of all, the salvation of your soul. That provision being made at the very highest cost because Christ died for you. You have that assurance, that knowledge that you're secure in Christ, you're sealed into Christ by the Holy Spirit. You come today and every provision has been made for you spiritually. God has saved you. Christ has died for you. The Spirit has indwelt you. Let me ask the question, do you worship as you ought? You think of the words of the fourth verse of the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Fourth verse says, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, and were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Wonder when was the last time you put your all into worship? I remember as a child, children's meetings, if the singing was poor in the children's meeting, whoever was leading it would stop and go, "Right, who was singing their best?" Maybe one or two hands would go up. Then encouragement, "Right, children, come on, all of you sing. Put all your, sing your loudest, sing your best." I'm not going to do it, of course, this morning, but if the same was asked, for a show of hands, who put their best into worship this morning? When was the last time you sang with all of your heart? I'm not saying when was the last time you sung as loud as you could, because singing as loud as you can does not mean you're singing with all of your heart. When was the last time you sang with all of your heart? When was the last time your heart was bursting within you as you opened up the hymn book and as you looked at the words you were singing and as you came on the Lord's Day remembering that Christ is alive today? Remembering, child of God, that He died for your sins. He rose for your justification. And He lives and He intercedes for you at the right hand of the Father. And one day He's coming again for you to receive you unto Himself, that where He is, there you might be also. When was the last time you sang with all of your heart? Give your all. We have the times of prayer. Wonder, do you just sit there with your eyes closed, or maybe you don't? Maybe sit with your eyes open, you're just staring around you, staring at others. Instead of entering into prayer as we unite, seek to unite together around the throne of grace, when was the last time that you prayed along in your own heart as a minister, as I stand here and whoever's in the pulpit, as they're standing praying and they're pleading with the Lord for the blessing of God upon the families, upon the community here, upon the intervention of the Lord, even in the souls of individuals? When was the last time that you entered into prayer? Remember, whenever we open the Word of God, we read it together. Do you worship in the reading? Maybe you have the Bible open, but you're not really following along, or maybe even you don't have the Bible open. God is speaking because this is His Word. It's not a novel, it's not a fiction, it's not a man-made story. This is the living, breathing Word of God. Every single word within this book is God-breathed. Do you worship by listening and seeking to be attentive to every word that is read? Then when we come to the central part of the worship, the preaching of God's Word, are you fixed on it? Maybe you're thinking, "Oh, had a rough week this week of..." Maybe you're thinking the week to come of A, B, C, of this, that, and the other thing I must get done tomorrow morning before anything else. "Oh, I need to phone this man, I need to phone this woman, I need to get all of this done." Or maybe you're even putting your shopping list together. "I must go to this shop tomorrow, I must go to that shop tomorrow." Remember, we're to worship in spirit and in truth. We're to give our all from the depths of our heart to enter into worship with every part of us in response to what the Lord has done. We are not here because of legalistic meanings or legalistic desires. The child of God seeks to worship in love and out of love. child of God that worships even as Ruth worshipped is not legalistic. We can cry even as Ruth cried, "Why have I found grace in the eyes of God? And he should take knowledge of me, seeing I was a stranger to him." Her worship. But then secondly, the verse 17, I want you to see her work. Her work. It tells us she gleaned in the field until even. She beat out that she had gleaned. Now it's interesting when you look at this account. Boaz loved Ruth. We've looked at that. He loved her and she knew that he loved her. She had experienced his grace, his kindness. It's interesting, though, his love is not experienced in handouts. He could have went over and he could have said to the reaper, "Put together a bundle, I want to give this to her." He could have easily said, "Look, I'm going to give you an ephah of barley," and just set it upon her lap and just hand it to her and said, "Right, you can go on home, you don't need to work today." But he didn't do that. She worked for what she took home. She worked every bit of that reward, every bit of that ephah of barley, she worked for it. She came in the morning time, she worked into the afternoon time, she worked into the even time, and then all that she had gathered, all that she had gleaned, then she beat it out before she ever went home. Came aside for the rest at lunchtime and then she got back to the work. She gave herself to the work. She didn't stray elsewhere. Her loyalty was now to Boaz. Her loyalty was now to his field, to his harvest. She didn't look to any other pastures. She didn't look to any other fields. She gave herself to work. She rose before anyone else did after lunch. She gleaned until the even. Then she beat out that she had gleaned. Wonder, is that the testimony of every child of God? Are you willing to work while it's day? Night cometh when no man can work. Ruth didn't enjoy the harvest because it was handed to her. She enjoyed the harvest because she worked for it. No, I see here a picture of the gospel commission. Also see a picture of the rebuke to hyper-Calvinism. Hyper-Calvinism believes that God will reach, that God will save every individual without any human effort. You don't need to go to a mission field. You don't need to go to preach. You don't need to go and evangelize. You don't need to go and witness. God will save whoever he wants to save. You don't need to be involved. That's not scriptural. It's not what God commanded. That's not what God commissioned. God commissioned, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel." In other words, apostles, disciples, children of mine, there's a work to be done. And I'm commissioning you to do it. We're to be active. We're to go forth for him. Not only internationally, but even locally. We're to go into the highways, the byways, we're to compel them to come in. Yes, the fields are white on to harvest, the laborers are few. We're instructed to pray, "Ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Ruth gave herself to the work. I believe it could have been very easy for her simply to walk away. But not after Boaz met with her. She could have got enough scraps together in the morning time. But then when Boaz met with her, she stayed the entire day into the evening. Why? out of love. And she worked. Now you think of the disciples in the boat. There they were out in the boat. They're seeking to bring in the fish. And they caught nothing. The Lord didn't simply say, right, just sit back, bring your oars into the boat, and then I'll make all the fish jump into your boat. He said, cast thy net out. Child of God, we're to cast the net out to bring in the fish. We're to go and to work in the harvest, to bring in the barley, to bring in the sheaves, to bring them rejoicing. We must go forth and sow the seed. We must go forth and work in the harvest. During that time of Judges, Boaz sent forth Ruth. He commissioned her for the work. You look at that commissioning, verses 8 and 9. He says, go not to glean in another field, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go thou after them. Child of God, the Lord has set a field in front of us. He says, go into it and work. Abide fast with my reapers. And work while it is day. He instructs her to work, to continue in the work, to give herself to the work along with the other maidens. And it's that verse 8 and 9, and then she comes to verse 10. It's then that she says, why have I found grace in thine eyes? It's after Boaz has commissioned her to the work. Then she says the words, why have I found grace? Now I wonder if you ever considered that being given the opportunity to work and to serve the Lord is actually a grace of God to you. Being able to teach Sunday school, being able to be involved in the children's work, being able to knock doors, being able to hand out invitations, being able to speak one-on-one with people, being able to serve the Lord in the session, the committee of the church, whatever the Lord allows and doors that are open, do you realize it's a grace from God? Whenever God allows you and whenever God speaks to you and God commissions you and he commands you to do a work for him, do you see it as a chore or do you see it as grace? This was grace. It's very easy to see as a chore. Especially as the years roll on, the weeks roll on, even within the year, and you're thinking, oh, another week of work. Another week of going out to the meeting, another week of doing this, A, B, C, whatever it is that the Lord's commissioned you to do. And you're like, oh, it's another week of it. You're almost dragging on the coat. And yet being able to serve the Lord is actually a grace from God. And it's a gift from God. That's how Paul saw it. That's what he wrote even to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 and 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God enabled me to serve him. Paul was rejoicing in the first place simply for being saved. Whenever the Lord met with him in the road to Damascus, he spent those next days, even as he was blind, he spent them in prayer. He was just so thankful to be saved. And then God commissioned him. And his words were, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Surely that's a picture that we see here with Boaz and Ruth. Boaz enabled her. Boaz counted her faithful. Boaz put her into the work. Boaz kept her in the work. It was Boaz who encouraged her. You stay in this work. You stay in my field. You stay with my laborers. You stay with my maidens. And you work. Boaz didn't chase her. Boaz didn't say, right, whatever you've got, now get out of my field. You've had enough. Boaz said, you stay. You work. not just for one day, work for the whole harvest. And she did it willingly. She did it thankfully. She did it out of love. How do I know she loved to work for Boaz? How do I know it wasn't a legalistic work where she just thought, I must do this? She left lunch early. That's how I know. If she was there because she was forced, I guarantee she would take every second of her lunch break. I guarantee she would have been the last off the seat. And you think of the workplace, how many boys string out the last second of the break before they'll ever clock back in. She was first up. She was first out. Because she loved him. Her worship, her work, thirdly, finally, verse 18, very quickly, her witness. Her witness. She took it up, that ephah of barley. She went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, and she gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. The end of verse 19, she just simply says, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. She was a witness in the field, yes. She had a very strong work ethic. But you look at her witness even as she returned home of how good, of how gracious, of how kind, of how loving Boaz was. Even as she had beat out all of that ephah of barley, now she's carrying it into the city. That there ephah is about 20, 25 pounds. It's about a 10 kilo weight of barley's in her hands. And she's carrying that 10 kilos up the street in front of everyone. And anyone that would have been near the fields that day would have realized there's one who's been in Boaz's field. Now she's walking through the streets holding that which she has worked for in Boaz's field. She comes into the house. She shows it to her mother-in-law. And she reaches in, as it were, to the pouch, to the little sack in the side. She hands out, there's the leftover lunch Boaz gave me. Her witness before her mother-in-law is all about Boaz. Boaz handed me this lunch. Boaz gave me more than I needed. Boaz allowed me to work in his field. This is all my reward. This is all my provision from Boaz. Boaz provided for me. Boaz purposed for me. Those handfuls of purpose, in other words, those extra lumps of grain that were allowed to fall on purpose for her to receive from the reapers, Boaz gave it all. All Boaz. How amazing is this man? How kind, how generous, how loving, how compassionate, how protecting even this man was towards me. His name is Boaz. You know, is that... is that our witness today of Christ? Even in your home, do you witness of how the Lord has blessed you through the day? As you come back, maybe into the house, you've been out at work all day, and you're seeing your loved ones again, and maybe that question is, well, how's work? Oh, I wonder if you ever said, the Lord was so good to me today. I had a particular problem at work, but we'd hear how the Lord sorted it all out for me. I had a problem in school today. I had a real hard time. Maybe it was a hard exam, or maybe someone was attacking me because of my Christian walk. And we'd hear, Mom and Dad, just how the Lord sorted it all out. You tell forth the love, the mercy, the grace of God. Maybe it's your unsaved loved ones, maybe your children. When was the last time you just simply testified, told them, you're not trying to preach to them as it were, but you're saying, look, I have to tell you how good God is. I just have to tell you how loving God is. I just have to tell you how wonderful it is to be saved, because the Lord just undertakes in every single step of my life. It's not ramming the gospel, as it were, down their throats. It's not forcing your beliefs on them. It's just simply showing them God is so good. So wonderful to be a Christian. So wonderful to have a Savior. He just provides every need that I have. His sufficient grace is there every day. That was Ruth's witness. She didn't simply go back to her mother and say, you should have been out today. You were so lazy sitting in this house. I did it all, mother. You just sat there. No, she just came back and she says, the man's name's Boaz. Look how wonderful he is. Child of God, the man's name is Christ Jesus. You're saved, you know he's wonderful. You know he's the fairest of 10,000. But do you tell anybody? You just simply tell others, you know, my God is so good. My Savior is so loving. What a God we have. Does our worship show it? Our work? Our witness? Ruth met Boaz. She was never the same again. When you've met Christ, you should never be the same again. The old things must pass away. All things must become new. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the love, the mercy of our God in heaven. We thank thee there is no God like our God. There's no love like the love of Jesus. But Father, enable us as thy children, that when we gather to worship, that we worship with all of our heart. That we're willing to work while it's day, to do what we can for thee. I know that we would even be speaking for thee. Wherever we go, whoever we're with, that our simple and yet our blessed witness is this: Jesus is wonderful. Father, bless this day, we pray thee. Separate us now with thy blessing. Bring us again this night to thy house. Bring others with us. In Jesus' name.